Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game, but with the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once a single point is scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. It's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still get in on the NFL action. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older. New Jersey, Indiana, and Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and a $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Want to go, pretty boy?
Two minutes by yourself and you feel shame, you know, and then you get free.
The only thing better than a glass of beer is tea with Miss McGill.
And welcome to the Fourth Line Boys Podcast. My name is Darren. Thank you very much for tuning in. Episode 162 of the Big Show, some enforcer-based podcasting coming at you, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. How's everybody doing out there? Early December here. Hopefully you're getting into the Christmas spirit. Yeah, we just put up our tree in the living room. Yeah, had the Christmas music going, and looks really good, and broke out some old ornaments from back in my youth. My Christmas ornament that I made in kindergarten. It's still packed away, so put that on there. And so excited to have the tree up. And I was sort of, once the tree's up, I think that's when I start really kind of getting into it. I mean, with all the craziness that's been going on the last little while, haven't had a lot of time to concentrate on Christmas, but starting to get into it now. So, and of course, my wife with the Christmas concert and everything coming up now, of course, she's busy with that. And we're right into the season here. So I hope you guys are too, if you celebrate such things. But what are we going to talk about today, boys and girls, here on this Sunday episode? I want to say, first off, I want to thank everybody who's been tuning in the last little bit. I know you guys are, as normally when I do two shows a week. Wednesday, of course, is interview day, and then Sunday is this rant shit show Sunday, as it's been coined. But you've been getting a lot of me lately, a lot of solo episodes. And I said, like anybody, a regular listener, which I'm sure at this point that's pretty much all I have, is a few regular listeners. No, obviously with the moving and everything else and into the house, and I just haven't had time to. And I really wasn't aware what my schedule was going to be like, and with, we were going to have internet and all that. So I didn't want to start booking guests and then having to cancel on them or whatever, which I kind of did to one guy. Well, I kind of jumped the gun a little bit. He was cool with it and everything, but that sort of right there, I was like, yeah, okay, I'll just do solo episodes. So as we go on here in with the next couple of weeks, of course, heading into Christmas and everything else, I don't know. I will probably have some fight fan interviews. In terms of player interviews, I don't think any player interviews will be happening until the new year, which is actually what, like 3 weeks away. So I think, kind of start 2022 fresh and out of the gate, and I think that's what's probably going to happen. Don't worry, guys. I have not gone to just a solo episode shows or anything like that. I will be back in the game with player interviews and that type of thing. Like, as I said, just bear with me. In the meantime, I encourage everybody to go back and check out the back catalog. Steve McIntyre, John Morasty, Frank Kovacs, Roman Volpat, Clark Wilm, Jeff Odgers, on and on. Well, like I said, there's 161 other episodes to go back and check out. So, please, I encourage you to do that. Well, before we get into, I think today's show, like I said, I'm really not trying to go too long with these episodes. I know everyone's busy this time of year. I've been doing a lot of list episodes lately. I know you guys really enjoy those, and I enjoy doing them for you. And like I said, I have people sending me lists and everything else that they find around the internet. And I was saying to the lug guy, I said it's funny, that Leafs list that I did last week really actually wasn't all that egregious. It wasn't that bad. There's always some omissions, but I mean, overall, considering some of the lists that we've covered, it was actually pretty decent. I said, I kind of like when they're kind of goofy, because then it's just like, you can take the piss out of them. It's a little more fun. But overall, that one wasn't actually too bad. And like I said, I don't, people just send me the links. I don't look at the links before I start recording. So my reaction is just like you. I'm seeing it and hearing it for the first time. So I try to keep it fresh. And I do. And I've had people send me a bunch of links and some articles and stuff. And I'll be going over that as the weeks and months roll on. But I do have another list today. It is the top five most fearsome enforcers in Edmonton Oilers history. So we'll see who's on that list. But before, and I got some tough guy numbers to hit you with. And that's kind of about it. And I was also asked the question about starting a podcast. Kind of think I covered that earlier, a few episodes. Well, I don't know if it was a few episodes. I don't even know what I've done anyway after 162 episodes. Obviously you remember the player interviews, but when they're the solo episodes, I don't remember what I've really talked about. I guess if I went back, it'd be easier now, as I've actually, in the last 10 or 12 episodes, I've really started to, in the description of the show, talk about, like, bullet point what I talk about. I never did that before, and I should have been doing that before, because that'd be a lot easier to go back and look at. So I do have, in the last little while, I'll have the topics that I talked about, but the earlier, like, episode 66 or whatever, I have no idea what I talked about on that episode. So I'm sure I've regurgitated things a few times. I know the whole Probert Advantage thing. I believe I talked about it like two straight weeks in a row. I was like, oh shit. As somebody pointed out, it wasn't that far apart. So I apologize for that, but it was more like, in terms of being on these Facebook groups, I think a lot of the same stuff keeps happening over and over. And, so it's like, it's in my mind. So I guess I keep regurgitating it on my show. So I'll try not to do that in the future, but I can't make any guarantees. But no, like I said, we'll talk about the toughest Oilers. Stevens hitting Korea. That's kind of about it. I don't really have too much. But before we get into that, obviously I have to talk about the sponsorship. I'm a member of the Hockey Podcast Network. There's over 50 shows on the Hockey Network. All the NHL teams are represented. So really, whatever team you're a fan of, there's a show for you. Of course, they're always bringing out content because, of course, there's games every week, right? So always something going on with whatever team show that you're listening to. For my off-network friends, of course, I got part-time Ole there at the Fire for Fighting podcast. Of course, he's gallivanting around the United States now, hopping on planes. Think he's in Utah or something, shooting things. I don't know. He's out there with his buddies, and Marine buddy. And he put a picture up, but he was in camouflage, so you couldn't really see him. But, Utah. I what's the song lyric I heard one time? Send me to hell or Salt Lake City. It'd be about the same to me. But yeah, he's over in Utah. I don't know if they got, I don't know what kind of bush they get. Well, they might have a lot of bush out there. I don't know, but you might have a little trouble finding his bush apple out there. You might have to jump the state line, go over to Nevada. But yeah, so of course he's, you know, oh, I don't know when I'll put out an episode here, there, and everywhere. You know, he goes along good for a little while, and then doesn't come out with anything for a few weeks and a couple months, and then all of a sudden, you know, we're putting his picture on milk cartons because you don't hear nothing from him, and then he's back. So who knows with that mud show? I don't know. You know, he's got that, in his office there, he's got the Taiwanese massage parlor neon sign that, it's probably flickering right now, but, so I don't know what to tell you when he's coming back. Who knows? I don't know. I might have a lead for him on an East Coast Hockey League player that wants to do an interview, apparently. And that's sort of up Alex alley right now, as he's all over the Florida Everblade stuff and as a season ticket holder down there. And I know this cat, Alec doesn't know anything about this. I haven't mentioned it to him because, like I said, he's out in the bush hunting right now. So when he gets back, I was sent a message privately, and I'm like, I nothing personal. I have no idea who some kid that's. I have no idea who that is. So, nothing personal. But I probably would not be the best person to interview that guy. But I know who might interview him, and I will get a hold of Alec. So we'll see. But in the meantime, if you want to check out, Alec has a tremendous back catalog. By Lois, Yablonsky, Segura, Rob Ray. You know, part-time when he gets into it, when he shows up, he does some good shit. Just getting him to show up. Yeah. But no, he does a great job. Five for Fighting podcast. He is also the creator of the Enforcer Appreciation Group on Facebook. If you happen to be on Facebook, I recommend joining the group. Just don't be a clown. There's so many clowns in those groups, but please don't be a clown. But if you're going to come on and create discussion and put up pictures and stuff and videos and be engaging, and yes, absolutely. We'd love to hear from you. But in all seriousness, it's got over 13,000 members. And, it's as close to the old fight message boards as you're going to get these days. So definitely give it a shot. And then, of course, out in New York, MSG, the world's most famous arena, we got Broadway Joe Lazzito. Give it a Lazzito! And... It's a New York Islander podcast, Coliseum Chronicles. Joe has interviewed everyone from Mick Fakota to Aaron Ashman to Jason Strudwick. Does a tremendous job. Joe just released an episode. Actually, he kind of went a little away from hockey and with the Lacrosse League and the New York Riptide and their Vice President Rich Lisk, he has on because it was the home opener for the National. Was it NLLL? NLL National Lacrosse? Yeah, National Lacrosse League. Which of course we have the Saskatoon Rush here, and I believe actually when we were putting up the tree, I was flipping channels, and I believe Albany was playing the Toronto Rock on TV. Lacrosse is one of those games. I've always, I'm down with lacrosse. I'm not really quite sure the rules entirely. I know there's some good fights in it, but yeah, really rough, really rough. I'm a huge lacrosse fan, cause I'm not. I mean, I like the game, but I mean, it's not like I religiously tune in or anything. But I do know I can tell you it's sure popular here with the Rush in Saskatoon. Before the pandemic and everything hit and we had the Rush here, I mean, they were cruising along, selling out. And if somebody told me, oh, you're going to get a lacrosse team, they'll sell out every game, and be like, yeah, sure. But yeah, they get that place rocking and the tunes are going and people are loving it. So of course, they're getting back going here. So that's pretty cool. So, and yeah, another outlet for Joe. I don't remember his name, but he had the goalie on last year for the team. So, Joe's getting right into the whole lacrosse thing and, branching out from the Islanders, of course. And now he's at MSG. Joe's got his, you know, hey, you know, Joe's got his fingers in a lot of pies. Hope some people weren't listening to that, but Joel Lozito, Broadway Joe Lozito, like I said, when you're sort of the New York Islander theme show, that's the gimmick, right? It's got to be an Islander player or whatever, or on the farm team or what have you. I mean, you kind of run out of guys, right? So yeah, Joe's really expanding here. He's got the Riptide going. Like I said, he is working at MSG. I don't want to say there's going to be some Rangers in the future, but I don't know. I think Joe's starting to straddle the fence a little bit. I don't know. Like I said, he's not just the king of Long Island. He wants to take over all of New York, and so we'll see what happens there. But Broadway Joe, he's everywhere, and I know in his last episode there, he laid it down that, you know, with work, he's back at work there, and he's busy, and I mean, he's stopping scalpers and everything else. I mean, you know, Joe's a man of the people, and you know, he's busy riding the subways and everything else, and so his time is limited. And so if you happen to get a glimpse of him walking the streets in New York City, go up and say hi. Like I said, Joe's a good dude. Takes time out for the fans. Let him know, you know. And, yeah, even if you're a Ranger fan, like I said, Joe's turning the corner a little bit. You can hear it in his voice when he's doing the show. And I don't know. Like I said, he's going to be yelling Pot Van sucks soon and everything else. I mean, he's just getting it. Like I said, he's adapting to the new surroundings there. And, you know, Joe doesn't like to create waves. So he's blending in. He's being a good teammate there at MSG. So stop by the ticket window, give Joe a shout out. And, you know, like I said, and he's got merch, man. He's got t-shirts, and of course it's Christmas. I mean, faster than you can say Sergei Nemchinov, Joel will show you his Yule log. Yeah, let him know. Stop by. Broadway Joe Lozito. Give it a Lozito. All right. I don't know what... It's late, folks. It's Saturday night. It's like 11:30. I got a bunch of beer in me. I'm just rambling now. I don't even know what I just said. But it'll all wash out. It'll all work itself out. So... I want to give, I know a lot of folks listen, yeah, like I'm fucking, you know, got millions. It's really cool when I get, messages from guys, and, I just want to say, you know, thank you. He goes by Sandman out there on Twitter, riding the rails. Thanks for listening, man. I appreciate it. And also, Jack Dale, the man with two first names, he's out there, and, you know, he, then he goes and includes me with like 4,000 and counting and every, you know, a couple other mud shows. It's like, he's like, you know, these are the shows to, like, what a group to be included in. Like I said, it's like being the nicest guy in prison. Yeah. But, you know, back to the wall when you're in that corner, when that group, but, no, and on all seriousness, I appreciate you guys listening to the show and mentioning it on social media. And like I said, I've often said this, and I mean, I know I'll say it again, but, I mean, that's our advertising is you guys, myself and Joe and Alec and the smaller shows. Like I said, we don't have alcohol named after us. I'm on the Hockey Podcast Network, stuff like that, but I mean, you know, it's not ESPN or TSN or Barstool or anything. I mean, you know, Isha and Dylan and them have done a great job, and they're building it up and everything else. But, you know, we're the little engine that could, and we rely on you, the fans and the listeners, to promote the show. You know, I go around Facebook and Twitter and you know, retweet it and post it as much as I can. But if you guys, hey, if you're going to hockey games or whatever, you know, fans or shit, you're like part-time Ole out there tailgating out in the parking lot, getting hammered before the game. Hey, tell a bunch of the diehards, you know, there's this podcast you should listen to. And, whether it be, you know, if they're Islander or Joe or Alec or myself, I mean, you know, it's all appreciated, and it's word of mouth. And, yeah, you know, we do these shows for you guys. So, you know, and so I but I definitely appreciate, you know, the, you know, you turn on social media and you have notifications, you go and look, and it's, you know, Jack Dale or Sandman or somebody like, or, you know, Farmer Rob or somebody like that, you know, saying how much they enjoy the show or giving you feedback on the show or telling their, you know, retweeting it. No, hey guys, you should listen to this episode. It's really good. That's, it's great. It's great. I don't know how we say it, and it's true. And I'm not just, you know, it's not just cut and paste when I say I truly appreciate you guys doing that. I really do. And, yeah, man, it's cool. And I love it. And, yeah. And if you guys have any feedback and you're on social media, like I said, send me a private message. And I love hearing from you guys. And if you have a idea for the show or you want to come on the show or whatever, definitely let me know. And, yeah, we'll definitely, definitely talk. And, you know, like I said, love to hear from you. And if you're not on social media, you're smarter than the rest of us. But, yeah, if you want to get a hold of me, Hockey Fights, all one word, lowercase, hockeyfights@hotmail.com. Yeah, just send me an email and let me know. I'd love hearing from you guys. But, well, you want to, let's get it, probably get into this show, right? Like I said, we're 20 minutes in and I haven't really talked about anything. You've heard me mention this, account before. It is a Tough Guy Numbers on Twitter, and, numbers about the toughest NHLers, past and present, emphasis on the past. Yes, is his profile, summary. And, yeah, and he throws out, you know, oh, a number of Gordie Howe hat tricks or number of players with a fight and a goal and in a game. And his newest one he just put out just like 4 hours ago. Most NHL games with at least 3 goals and a major penalty. Number one is Brian Sutter with 4. And then 1, 2, 3. And then 4 guys tied with 2. Owen Nolan, Paul Coffey, Grant Mulvey, and Harry Cameron. If you're like, who the fuck is Harry Cameron? I had to look it up. He played from 1917 to 1923 in the NHL with the Toronto St. Pat's, Ottawa Senators, and a season with the Canadiens. So, yeah, old Harry Cameron did it. But that was most NHL games with at least 3 goals and a major penalty. So a hat trick and a major penalty. I should ask him. Well, he'll reply. I'll have to ask him, though. I didn't do it on Twitter yet. I guess a major penalty could be like, you know, cross-checking or high-sticking. I'm assuming, I don't know if it's, if, when he says major penalty, if he means a fight or just a 5-minute major. But I was really surprised to see Paul, I was surprised to see Paul Coffey on here. And I know Coffey fought now and again, but it's like, you know, at the end of the day, and I know he put up a ton of points, but it's just for a defenseman to have a hat trick and a major twice in a career is like how many times do defensemen get hat tricks? Let's start it there. And then let alone have 2 of them and with a major. And, yeah. So, and then Brian Sutter. It's interesting. Like every list this guy does, it's like Brian Sutter's like near the top. Like Sutter was the man, I'm telling you. And Owen Nolan. It's interesting. Owen Nolan. I know in the new year, I was going to actually do, I don't know why I'm doing this to myself, but I was going to do another Twitter tournament. Actually, this one I'll probably put on Facebook because I just want to try out a Facebook tournament to see how it goes. But I've over the years, I've done it. I call it the Gordie Howe Classic, and it's a power forward tournament. I think in the new year, I will do that again. But, I mean, that's neither here nor there what I'm talking about. But I just, like, Owen Nolan's always in that tournament. But whenever somebody talks about power forwards, it's always, and rightfully so, but it's like Shanahan or Tocchet, Neely or Wendell Clark. And I was saying the other day, I was saying how Gary Roberts gets overlooked a lot. Another guy is Owen Nolan that really gets overlooked. Yeah, like he was a mean dude, man. And yeah, Owen Nolan. Oh, there's the other part of the tweet is only 80 players in NHL history have ever had at least 3 goals and a major penalty in a regular season game. The list includes tough guys Mick Fecoda, George Laroc, Gary Howitt, Ian LaPerriere, and Ronnie Stern. Fecoda, eh? Sniped the hat trick. There you go. Yeah, so it's just yeah, he just does like cool little little tweets like that, and with interesting little st I find those stats interesting anyway. But yeah, Brian Sutter is like every list he does, Brian Sutter's on there. But yes, that is Tough Guy Numbers on Twitter if one is so inclined to be on that platform. Yeah, guys. Before we get into the Oiler list here and everything else, I won't keep you too long today, but I've seen this come up again with on the message boards, and here we go. But there's always Scott Stevens for some reason. Like, I've talked about this a million times, but for the last couple of days, I don't know if it's like they get the thread gets deleted, so they put it up again in a different thing. But it's Stevens hitting Paul Kariya. And of course, everybody remembers that hit in the playoffs. And of course, Kariya amazingly came back later in the game and, I believe, scored the winning goal. But, another one of those huge hits that Stevens throws. And, and again, I guess it gets debated about whether it was dirty or not. Or, I mean, to a Gen Zer watching it, yeah, I mean, that's attempted murder in their mind. But, yeah, it was a brutal hit. And, was it late? I said in slow motion, everything looks late. As I said with that, if you have to use super slow motion to prove your case, you have no case. Yeah, it was a brutal hit and everything else. But a lot of people after, like, the video goes out, oh, Steven's typical piece of shit and dirty and career, that was career ender, never played, was never the same, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, this guy he called it a career ender. And I'm like, well, Paul Kariya played six more seasons after that hit and scored over 300 points in those 6 years. So you keep saying career ender. It's like, are you speaking metaphorically? Like, it's just like, it didn't end his career though. Like, as I told the guy, and he's like, okay, whatever, fucked hard and what. I'm like, okay, what is that? What? Like, he's swearing at me and everything else. And I'm like, well, I don't know what you're mad about, though. I'm giving you facts. He did play for six more years. And in fact, the next year had 85 points. So I don't know what you're talking about, career ender. Clearly it wasn't. Like I said, he had three more. Well, yeah, but then he retired. Well, yeah, he was also in his mid-30s at that point. So most people do retire at that point. Again, I don't know if you're trying. Like, the hit was brutal enough. Like, you don't. Like I said, I don't really know what you need to continue on. Like, this somehow proves your point that you think Stevens was really dirty because he ended career. Oh, he ended Lindros's career too. Yeah, again, Lindros played eight more years. Like, it's just, you keep saying this, but it's like, well, they were never the same. Well, okay. I mean, like I said, with Kariya, he had 80-some points the next year. How many? Okay, because he didn't get 100. He was not the same. I think you're putting way too much emphasis on it. Like, yeah, it was a brutal hit and whatever else. I mean, regardless, the guy came back and scored a goal. Scored the winning goal in the same game. So I don't know how you keep using this phrase career ender. He wasn't the only guy. I've seen that a bunch of times. People have said that Stevens ended Kariya and Lindros's career. Again, I guess if you're, like, were they the same? Was Lindros's? No, he wasn't the same player after. But, I mean, it was definitely a cumulative damage. I mean, Kasparaitis and all those guys got a piece of him over the years. Stevens probably, maybe it was the icing on the cake. But again, he did play eight more years. Now, it wasn't the Lindros in Philadelphia. No, it wasn't. But, and he certainly, from his own admission, he played different. But still went to the Hall of Fame, So it's like, this really has this segment or whatever you want to call it of the show really has no ending. I was just sort of, it was just a conversation that was happening today, yesterday, and today with this guy, and it was just like, and I've seen it whenever Stevens gets brought up, that gets brought up a number of times about all the careers he ended, and it was like, and like I said, he gets put in the category of Ulf Samuelsson and stuff, and it's like, well, no. I mean, he never took out anyone's knees or eyes or anything like that. I mean, no. And like I said, it depends. I think it depends on what team you cheer for or whatever. Like,
everybody said he threw this huge elbows and all this. It's like, well, he didn't, you know, and he leaves his feet. And you know he doesn't. It's like, after he hits, he comes up and pops up because of the momentum, but he's never left his feet. But again, and it's all right on video. It shows that he doesn't, but yet they're still yelling that he did. So, I mean, you know, I guess Homerism's blind, I suppose, even when a mountain of evidence right in your face. So, I mean, and I understand people's dislike for Scott Stevens. I get it. But at the end of the day, I mean, you know, he didn't end their careers and he didn't leave his feet and all this stuff. So I don't know what to tell you, but the hate is real. There you go with Scott Stevens anyway. Well, folks, like I said, we certainly won't have a long episode today. But like I said, I guess we're a half an hour in. So, like I said, I have links sent to me all the time, and which I appreciate you guys for doing it. I don't want to say it makes this show easier, but it does make the show easier. But I think, like I said, everybody seems to enjoy the list. I enjoy bringing them to you and doing them. And like I said, and the response has been really positive to them. You can tell by the listens and stuff, by the numbers. So you guys are digging it. So that's cool. And once these kind of fade out, like, I mean, there's only so many lists on the internet that you can do. You know, I will, I think what I'm also going to do is I'm going to do a couple polls, amongst the Facebook groups. We'll kind of get fight fans' feelings on maybe a top 10 all time or, you know, a minor league one or something, you know, whatever. We'll do a few of them, but, you know, I want to do that like over the course of I don't want to put up a poll to, you know, on a Friday and then I'm going to do the show on Saturday. Like, I want to I'll do it for over a week. That way everybody can, you know, over the course of the week can see the thing and submit their top 10 or whatever. And I think I'll do that actually as soon as I'm done this, maybe Monday, I will put up a thing in the different Facebook groups and on Twitter to email me. I'll set up a temporary email and I'll have email me your top 10 all time. And we'll break that down on next week's show. We'll do an all time, according to the fight fans of social media, we'll do a top 10 of all time. But here we are. This was Ferda Oil. I don't know what that is. It's a website, I guess. Ferda Oil. Okay. The top 5 enforcers in Oilers history. January 24th, 2021. So this is brand new, pretty much. So the Edmonton Oilers have been lucky to have the best heavyweights in the National Hockey League. Some of the best heavyweights in the National Hockey League has ever seen, and that's why this discussion over the absolute best enforcer in team history can go on forever. Whether the team needed an emotional spark or good old-fashioned revenge, it's usually the biggest and baddest guy for the job. Here is a list of the top 5 enforcers in Oiler history based on style, toughness, and everlasting folktales. All right. Number 5, Steve McIntyre. Well, there you go. From the start of 2008-2009 season, the Florida Panthers put the tough Saskatchewan boy on waivers. Oilers scooped him up. McIntyre made his first appearance in the battle of the preseason with the Battle of Alberta. He immediately made things different with an uppercut to Jim Vandermeer's chin. 6'5", 250. Yeah. While taking part in there, he had 2 stints with the Oilers and had his impression felt in the Battle of Alberta after the Vandermeer fight. He also crushed Dustin Boyd, forced Pruss to drop the gloves, had a marathon fight with McGrath and broke Ivanez's orbital bone. He even fought heavyweight champion Derek Bugard to a couple of draws. McIntyre may have played less than anyone on the roster at the time, but he was exactly what the Oilers needed and he did his job very well. Here, I'll do the list and then we'll break these down after here. Number 4. Well, there you go. Marty McSorley. Like McIntyre, Marty was an old farm boy who made big league by beating people up. At 6'1", 190, he wasn't the biggest of the bunch, but he had the toughness and the heart on his side. As an Oiler, McSorley had 89 fights in 199 regular season game. That averages out to a fight every 2 or 3 games. When McSorley's antics weren't giving the opposition reasons to hate him, he was taking part in marathon fights. Say what you want about the guy, you can't take away from the fact that his cardio was incredible. Yeah, it was. Um, Yeah, it's interesting with we'll break the list down, then I'll break it down. Number three, Dave Brown. Here you go. when hockey fans think of Dave Brown, they probably picture him in a Flyer sweater. So by the time the Oilers were looking for a new tough guy to replace McSorley in 88-89, Brown was the obvious choice. One of Brown's claims to fame was a custom jersey, a skin-tight left sleeve on his throwing arm, with less fabric to grab onto his opponents, often found himself searching for something, and he brought the jackhammer down on them. A victim of Brown was Calgary Flames enforcer Stu Grimson. At the time, Grimson was just getting his feet wet in the NHL and had actually done pretty well in the first bout with the Oilers' tough guy. It was both the best of times and worst of times, Grimson said years later about defeating who he considered the heavyweight champion of the league. You don't get the better of Dave Brown and not be called to answer for it very soon. Two nights later in Calgary, Brown told reporters, "Don't go for coffee." Sure enough, he delivered one of the most memorable beatdowns in Oilers history in the first period. Grimson left the ice with a broken cheek and orbital bone and required reconstructive surgery to his face. Yeah, if you ever just go on YouTube and look that fight up, it's brutal. Number two, Dave Semenko. Let's make things clear about Dave Semenko. He was mean, he was dirty, and he was a fan favorite. He stirred the pot, protected his teammates, was a pure enforcer, the kind of guy who doesn't exist in today's game. Not only would he beat up guys, he'd throw an elbow to an unsuspecting player between the whistles, punch a guy when he was on the ice, and even clinch someone and throw an MMA-style knee. Yeah. What can you say about Semenko? Yeah, Wayne Gretzky's bodyguard. Yeah. Number one. Oh, before Gretzky shared at Semenko's funeral about the time Semenko was sent down to play for the Wichita Wind of the Central Hockey League. That sheds light on his sense of humor. When he got there, he asked which number he wanted. His first choice was obviously 27. That was taken, so he said he'd take 17. That was the number he wore in high school. That was taken, too. Finally, he asked, "Is 99 available?" Yeah, well, Semenko, that'd been sweet. Number one. Well, there you go, George. George Laroque. George Laroque isn't just the Oilers' best enforcer of all time. He might be the best enforcer in NHL history. He was the heavyweight champion of the league for the majority of his career, probably from 99 to 09. Not only was he good at policing the game, but he was also the best fighter in an era which saw a new version of heavyweights evolve. Semenko, Brown, and McSorley didn't have to fight the same type of opponents Laroque faced. Mark Neville remained in the, he wasn't re-signed in 06. Yeah, there you go. So McIntyre, McSorley, then Brown, Semenko, and George Laroque. That's a pretty solid list. I mean, the one thing I will say, and this might get a few people riled up, the thing with McIntyre is I think people mistakenly think that he played a long time. And I looked it up, the magic of editing. With preseason and everything, McIntyre had 19 fights with the Oilers. It always seems like he's around longer than that. But that's including preseason. I think I said that. But So I don't know. Now, obviously, if he had a lengthy career and played, 5 or 6, 7 years like these guys, like the rest of these guys did with the Oilers, without a doubt, he would have been in that conversation. I always said even when he was playing, I mean, the majority of his time was spent in the American Hockey League. And I always used to say, like, the toughest guy in hockey is the American Hockey League. And it's a shame. And I never understood it. Like, a guy that big, Matt could skate pretty good. Like, for a big guy like that, for the role being what it was at the time. And, I mean, I'm not saying, oh, he'd get power play time and all that. I'm not saying that. But, for a fourth line guy, skate his lane, big dude, he could do it. And I never understood why he didn't get more NHL time with any team, really. And it's too bad. But yeah, definitely one of the toughest. But like I said, I think people make the mistake of just assuming that McIntyre played 5, 6, 7 years in the NHL when he didn't. You know, he barely played 100 games. And, yeah. I mean, and I'm not saying that as a slight to Steve McIntyre. That's just, that's what happened. And so I wouldn't have him on this list just due to, like, the potential, yeah, but at the end of the day, he just didn't fight enough. He wasn't around long enough for me personally to be on a top five Oiler list. I'll go through the list first, and then I'll say who I think should have been on it. But, yeah, the next one with McSorley, I mean, well, you can't argue with Marty. The thing that was surprising with McSorley, and I looked it up, and again, I didn't realize this either. I just assumed he played longer in Edmonton. But he really only played 4 seasons there. And but it just seemed like he was there for a really long time. And it was like 3, and then what was he, 3 traded to LA, and then he was back for 1 with the Oilers right at the end of his career. But yeah, he just seemed like he was there for a lot longer. But I mean, what is there to say about Marty? He's one of the all-time best. I've always said there's a difference between enforcing and fighting. You can be a great fighter, but not be a great, you know, there's a difference between a great enforcer and a great fighter. Now, if you could do both, well, then now you're cooking with gas, right? But, and McSorley was a great enforcer. He was a good fighter, too. He's a great fighter. But, you know, but he didn't have the huge power knockouts. Right? He was a marathon guy, never got tired, you know, but would fight anybody and hang in with anybody. And, like, he was unbelievable. Like, you do it at, like, porn star stamina. But, you know, but in terms of enforcing, probably top one of the best ever. You know, he took it to the level, and you know, by today's standards, yeah, it was crazy what he, you know, some of the stuff he, not crazy, but the extreme to what he, like, now people can't wrap their heads around it, but back then, yeah, that's just what you did, and that's that was his role, and nobody touched Gretzky. That was just, or Curry or any of those guys, or, you know, when he got to LA, all, like, oh, it didn't matter what team Marty was on. You didn't mess with his teammates. And it wasn't, I'll get you next game or next week when we play. It was like, next shift, and you're answering for it. And if you don't, and it didn't matter if you were the first line guy or the fourth line guy, you were paying the price. And Marty was tremendous at it. And again, if you go to YouTube, Fourth Line Voice on YouTube, check out my YouTube channel. 2,600 fights. I just added 5 or 6 last night. I'll be adding more tonight too. But now that I got all my fight DVDs back, I'll really crank up the YouTube channel here. But on my YouTube channel, there's a snippet from the what was the Nyland documentary? I always want to say Ice Guardians, not Ice Guardians, Last Gladiators. The DVD extras. I put up a little like 7-minute interview with McSorley. He describes the enforcer role perfectly. And you go and listen to that, and it's like, yeah, that was the job. And Marty did it to a T. Tremendous. Yeah, Dave Brown, number 3. I mean, one of my top 5 of all time. Just a scary, mean dude. Didn't give a shit. Stick your code up your ass. There's no code. There was, you know, and one of the baddest dudes ever. And I mean, when he was with the Oilers, I mean, like you said, you got the beating of Grimson. Of course, everybody remembers the vicious kite thing was just ground and pound. McKenzie. I'm trying to think of it. I always say, like the article said, when I think of Brown, I think of the Flyers. But he had a solid run for a couple years there in Edmonton. He wasn't there for very long. It was about 2.5-3 years. But impactful. I think he got Miller a couple times, too. I remember my Dave Brown Oilers. Of course, infamously, him and Probert finally had their big serious fight. I mean, they had a couple snooze fests when he was in Philly, but I think Probert got him in the Edmonton fight. But Brown, man, yeah, I think I looked on Drop Your Gloves and he had 37 tilts and vicious dude, man, like 37 with the Oilers. So Semenko. Yeah, played 9 seasons with the Oilers. 7 of them in the NHL, 2 in the WHA. According to HockeyFights.com, I was adding them up. He had about 50 fights, 50 NHL Oiler fights. I don't know how many fights he had in the WHA. Damn, can't get his thing on Drop Your Gloves. But, Semenko, like I said, one of the top enforcers of all time. Really, in my opinion, there's not a lot of footage of Semenko. There's some, but not the greatest fighter. Like, I wouldn't say he's a top 10 guy or anything. He had some big wins, but don't want to say overhyped, but might be a little overhyped by some in terms of his fighting ability. His enforcing ability was second to none. He was awesome. And again, he didn't mess with anybody. And like it's often been brought up, like he talked more people out of fighting than actually fighting. Like he even says in the Ice Guardians, right? Like everybody remembers that part. He just skated by the bench and he's like, are we going to keep playing like this all night or what are we going to do? And most of the time it got shut down. And that's enforcing right there, man. So, yeah, Semenko. Hey, absolutely. And then number one, George Laroc. Yeah, you know, I looked at 116 tilts in 7 years and probably you could count on one hand how many of those he lost. And yeah, I have George. Actually, when I did my top 10, a few episodes ago, I had George number 3 all time. And I took some shit over it, but it was like, you know, how can you argue, really? How many fights did he lose? You know, count, like I said, you could pretty much, and throughout his career in one hand. And I don't remember him getting dropped. I mean, somebody help me. I don't remember it. And yeah, George is the man. And my only kind of knock on Laroc, if I could do it, if there was any, I personally think he wasn't mean enough. He's just not a mean guy. And I think if he had been mean enough and a little more forceful, I think he would have been a little more effective as an enforcer. Nonetheless, I don't think anybody really wanted to mess with him, but I think they also knew that, like, he wasn't going to do what Semenko and McSorley did. Like, he wasn't going to jump you or like, let's go. No, I'm not fighting you. Well, you are. I mean, George would just be okay. You know what I mean? He just wasn't mean. But when he did, the gloves came off, he certainly would take care of business, but, he wasn't going to jump you or anything. And he had like the code thing and all that and whatever. But, this whole good luck bullshit and all that stuff. I mean, that's whatever. Why, George? Why? But although the league's probably very lucky that George didn't have some Manko's mindset. Maybe that's, you know, that might have ended up badly for somebody. But yeah, man. When it comes down to actual fighting ability, out of these five, I would have George at number one as well. But yeah. The one guy I would have on the list, instead of McIntyre, I would, and he is grossly underrated, is Kevin McClellan. McClellan was awesome. I looked it up. 7 seasons with the Oilers. He had 143 fights. Lefty, wide open. Again, go to my YouTube channel. I hate to keep promoting it, but, Kevin McClellan, John Kordick. Kordick's first actually NHL fight. It's in the preseason. Unbelievable. Toe to toe. And just type in Kevin McClellan, go down that rabbit hole on YouTube. Tremendous fighter. No, I'm not saying, was he heavyweight champ? No. But did it for a long time. Solid player, 20-goal guy. McClellan was a good player. That's solid with the Oilers. And I mean, man, you just think of him and Marty and Semenko cruising around. Like, Jesus, he didn't mess around with the Oilers. And I would definitely have McClellan on that list. I would have him at number 5 instead of McIntyre. Then Marty, Brown, Semenko, Laroc. Yeah, I mean, even the order, it comes down to enforcing. Yeah, I could see Semenko being in there in terms of actual fighting ability. If it was fighting ability, I'd still have George at number 1. I'd have Brown at 2. I'd have Marty at 3, Semenko at 4, and McClellan at 5. Is how I would have it. But, you know, you have other Oilers in there. You could have, again, I wouldn't have McIntyre in it. He just didn't do it long enough. But, I mean, you got Boo Kaboom, Louis DeBrusque, Luke Gazdick, I guess Richardson, Storantini, Strudwig. I'm just trying to think of the Oilers, Buckberger, yeah, Brackenberry, you know, Cassian, I get Lucic. I mean, they're all kind of just tough dudes. It's, you know, I'm not putting them in the category of Marty or Dave Brown or anything, but some tough guys. Gazdick, I'm a huge Luke Gazdick fan. It's a shame he came in the wrong era. If he had come like 10 years earlier. Yeah, he's a wild swinger. I was down with Luke Gazdik. I was really happy when he came up, and I enjoyed some of his AHL stuff. And yeah, and DeBrusk came out of London and the America or in the OHL, pardon me, with just a huge rep. And yeah, tough guy. I don't know. He never seemed to really. And there was always a story he didn't really embrace the role. You know, he wanted to play a little, and I can't blame him, you know, cause he had 30 goal guy in the OHL. And I think he just got, you know, fourth line dummy minutes and in the NHL and just didn't, you know, wasn't getting playing time. And I think that, he started to really affect him. And, you know, most of the time he did a lot of grappling. Like apparently he was like he bench pressed like 500 pounds or something ridiculous. Oh, you see him now. It looks like he'd still do it. But he was like ridiculously strong and, yeah, he was more of a kind of a grappler guy, but he'd swing it out now and again. But yeah, but tough dude. Again, I'd have him in front of McIntyre and stuff. Like I said, he played. I don't know how many games did he play with the Oilers. Had to be at least 200 or 300. Now if McIntyre played those same amount of games, yes, I would have him. He was whatever in your quotes tougher than Louis DeBrusk, but. Yeah, I just can't have Mac on the list, just like I said, just due to lack of numbers. But yeah, guys, there you go. That was, and like I said, as far as that list goes, there's another list. I really can't take the piss out of it. I mean, the names were all solid. I'd have the same four, and I would have had McClellan instead of McIntyre. That was the only thing. But having Mac on there, I'm not yelling and screaming that that's terrible. You know, but. Yeah, but Kevin McClellan just in general is overlooked by a lot of people. And I was just on Drop Your Gloves. And I've never gone down. I've seen tons of McClellan fights and whatever. But when you actually go and look at the numbers on Drop Your, of course, you could do that with Drop Your Gloves before, but you miss it. But I was just looking, man. The guy had 29, 28, 27 fights a year. It was like, son of a bitch. I mean, yeah, Kevin McClellan was legit dude, though. But speaking of Drop Your Gloves, Steve, my boy there, when ProWortWasKing.com has been for all year been pushing to raise money, and he had a GoFundMe and everything to bring Drop Your Gloves back. And I believe he wants to call it, was it the Fight Chronicles, I believe. And he has got a computer designer set up to do it, and they made their first payment, and this guy's starting it. So slowly but surely, a Drop Your Gloves style website is coming back bigger and better than ever. Steve, I know, has a lot of visions for it, and he's been keeping everyone updated. And I'm gonna talk to Steve here, and I'm gonna get him to come on, or just I'm gonna record a little something about the progress of what's coming with the website and everything. And I want to just, like I've said it before, but I commend Steve for his tenacity and just sticking with it and just raising the money. Like I said, there's a lot of people out there, and I'm including myself, a lot of talk that, oh, I missed the site, you know, but no one ever did anything about it. Well, Steve was the only one that did it. He took the bull by the horns, went and tracked, and he's not a computer guy, but he immersed himself in trying to learn. He talked to a number of different computer guys, found one, and he's sticking with it, man, and he should be commended. And when that site finally gets online, we all owe Steve a huge debt of gratitude. And thanks, man. I appreciate it, because I love that site, and I'm really looking forward to see what this one's going to be like. And like I said, it's going to be a work in progress, labor of love. You know, a lot of guys contributed to Drop Your Gloves back in the day. It wasn't just one guy doing all that. No, there was a lot of guys putting up the fight cards and the comments about the fights and videos and what have you. And it's going to take a lot to build that back, but Steve is definitely dedicated to it. So that was really cool. And it's great to see it going forward. But yeah, guys, there we go. It is midnight here, so I'm going to stop talking. And it is nice to be down in the basement, though. I know my wife is very happy. She doesn't have to listen to this shit while she's trying to get ready to go to bed. But I want to thank everybody for tuning in again. Like I said, Fourth Line Voice on Twitter, on Facebook. If you happen to be on social media, give me a follow. Drop me a line. Let me know about the show, good, bad, or otherwise. And again, Fourth Line Voice on YouTube, over 2,600 fights from junior to pro. I have everything sorted. Just go to the search engine, type in whoever or whatever league, and it'll come up. So definitely give it a look. And like I said, now that I'm in the house, I got my fight DVDs unpacked. I will be spinning some new ones, and there'll be old fight new to you, and I'll be putting some stuff up there. I'll try to do it weekly. Definitely in every couple days, I'll try to put some fights up for you guys. So definitely check those out. But we'll wrap it up. Like I said, it's a Sunday, Bloody Sunday. So I hope everyone's having a good weekend. We'll get ready for the work week. And or if you're listening to this Monday morning on your commute, I feel you. I'm right there with you. Hang in there, and we'll get through it. But thank you, everybody, for listening and for the feedback and for always supporting the show. And it's greatly, I always say it's appreciated, and it's true. It's greatly appreciated. And thanks, everybody, and we will talk to you on Wednesday. All right, guys. Thanks.
And you people that don't like fighting, how many of you did you walk out and get a coffee while that was on?